Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome, everyone. If you've ever gone into work, and who hasn't, and thought, you know what, there's got to be more. Well, today's guest has some no-fail strategies to help you create a brand new, successful you. And we're going to find out all about that in just a moment. My guest is Robin Fisher-Roffer. She's a leading international brand strategist. And she's worked for CNN, Turner Broadcasting, Headline News, TNT, and TBS. She then became self-employed as the president of Big Fish Marketing and Fishnet in Los Angeles and Little Pond Productions in Atlanta. Her clients include networks such as MTV, Fox Cable, ABC, Discovery, A&E, The History Channel, and Columbia TriStar International Television. Robin Fisher-Roffer joins me today to talk about how you can incorporate your passion, attributes, and values into creating your own unique personal brand strategy. And I came across Robin because I read her first book quite a while ago, actually, several years ago. It's called Make a Name for Yourself and... Oh, excuse me. I haven't got my glasses on. I look like an ant. Make a name for yourself. 8 steps for every woman needs to create a personal brand strategy for success. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm pleased to have you. As I said, I came across your book several years ago, and when I was looking for guests to talk about this subject today, I really couldn't find anything on the shelves that was new. And then I suddenly remembered your book and gave you a call, and here you are.
Yeah.
So I want to just start off with your personal journey, because you've had a very interesting personal journey. You've worked with some really large corporations. Some of your own personal clients have been huge media giants too. But I read that your interest in media started as a child, when you would take your small black and white Sony TV to the laundromat and watch your favorite programs while mom did the laundry. So I wonder if you just tell us a little bit about how you got interested in media.
Well, the thing is, I had a very chaotic childhood, and my parents split when I was about 4 years old. And the television became a way for me to feel safe and to feel in control of my life, because back then we only had 3 or 4 channels, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the schedule for every single channel. I knew when the Monkees were on, when American Bandstand was on, you know, when Winky Dink was on, all these shows. I don't know if your listeners remember, but and that television made me feel like the chaos of my life was under control, because if I knew what was on and I could flip it on and enjoy it, you know, all of the madness of having to go back and forth as a little child to 2 different people's homes, my father being this stable former Marine from World War II, and my mother being nothing less than a total hippie, free spirit, never knew where she was going to be and what she was going to be doing at any time of day, it sort of made me feel safe. So I went into television. And as a matter of fact, Sony is one of my most valued clients today. We just finished a big project for them, as a matter of fact, today. So it's very exciting to have something that you love so much as a child be an everyday part of your life as an adult.
Well, sure. And do you still have that little Sony TV?
Right. It was like the original video iPod. It was just that it had a little handle, and it was white and plastic and had bunny ears and the whole thing.
Mm. So you then decided to quit and go into business for yourself, right, after a few years?
Well, I actually made a deal with my dad, who was an ad man, and had taught me sort of by the age of 11. I was already working with him on ads, going to pitches, writing copy, you know, and all of this with him at the kitchen table. Did so learn the business from his knee, really. And I made a deal with him when I was 18 years old that by the time I was 30, no matter where I was in my life, I would start my own agency.
Mm.
So when I was 30 years old, I was actually working for Turner Broadcasting, directing the marketing for the Turner Network. It was a big job. You know, I had already gotten promoted within 9 months when I had started at TNT on the team that launched that network. And, you know, everything was going great there, but I had made a deal, and I am my word. And that is really something that your listeners should understand, that they are their word and they can put their vision into practice. And I kept to that. I kept to that promise, and I left. I gave them 6 months' notice, but I did leave the company. And the beautiful thing is that I had from the stock program saved $10,000 of Turner Broadcasting stock, which I turned into the seed money for my business.
Okay. Okay. Now, I read, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to get myself sidetracked here. But you started your own business. How did you decide what you were going to go into? I guess that was a given what you'd already been working on, right?
Right. I mean, it's like I combined my love for advertising and what I learned from my father with my love for television and developed and started up an advertising agency where all of my clients would become television networks or entertainment companies.
Mm. And I know where you got the name Big Fish from, because I read a couple of articles that where you talked about this, but please share that with our listeners, because it's quite unique, Big Fish marketing.
Well, you know, I believe that whatever you say you are, you will become. So I wanted to make sure that every client that I had was a big fish. And so I named the company Big Fish Marketing. And everyone, my nickname was Fish, because my last name was Fisher.
Mm.
So it really worked.
Mm.
But names are very important and very powerful. I get paid money just to come up with names of companies and good money. You know,
right.
You really have to think it through.
Oh, definitely. I think that's one of the hardest parts of starting any company. Even when I had my dog, trying to pick a name was was hard, because he's going to live with it for a long time.
Exactly.
So I think naming is very important. And you, as a brand strategist, just give us a high level overview of what you do on a daily basis.
Well, when we're lucky enough to get called in to invent a brand or reinvent a brand or launch a new television show, which is the three basic things that we do in our business, the first thing we do is we have to find the truth in that brand. We have to find the essence of it, and we peel away all the layers through a workshop, a day-long workshop. And I like to create a brand in a day, because I think there's just too much analyzation being done in the world of marketing and branding. And what that creates is paralyzation of thought.
Definitely. Definitely.
So I look at it as like peeling an artichoke, you know, peeling and eating an artichoke one leaf at a time. So you get to the heart, and you begin at the day with the artichoke full of leaves. And by the end, you've gone through the fuzzy core, and now you're at the heart of what this brand's going to be.
Okay. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking branding is just a business card or just your letterhead or a logo, but it's actually much more than that, isn't it?
It's so much more than that. And those two things that you just said, the sort of the business system, the letterhead, the card, and the logo itself, those are the things that should come last. That you know, it's really the look and feel. And when I put the steps out in my book, Make a Name for Yourself, creating the look and feel is one of the last steps that you do. First, you want to unearth the soul of the brand, and you have to sketch out the dream of what that brand is going to do, ultimately, its mission. And, you know, I love Coca-Cola's mission to refresh a thirsty world. And that's the kind of thing you have to create a 7-word sentence that's going to get you out of bed in the morning every day, because the road is so hard when you're starting your own business. So it has to be, you're on a mission. So that becomes, before you even have a name or a logo, what is the mission you're on? What do you want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, again, we make the mistake sometimes of thinking the mission statement has to say everything. But, I mean, what could be simpler and yet more effective than to refresh the world?
Yeah, to refresh a thirsty world. And I love it because it's seven words or less, because, you know, that's all we have the capacity to remember.
Yeah.
Is, you know, basically that's why telephone numbers are seven digits, you know.
Right, true. Yeah, because our brain does remember that. Now, that's a look at branding on a business level. Why do we need, you say we need to brand ourselves on a personal level. Why?
Absolutely. I mean, because we have to differentiate ourselves from the pack. And at the end of the day, people do want to do business with people they like. And when you could have the greatest brand in the world or the greatest product you want to sell, but you as the CEO of your life and of your and representing that product, whether you're inside or outside of a company, you still have to sell, and you have to create a description or a pitch that's going to resonate with your target audience. You have to identify who that target audience is. Who are you trying to influence? And then tell them a story that breaks through and that they really want to hear. Speak in their language. And being a brand, knowing who you are, you're going to be more successful at that communication.
Yeah, and I read that you actually started about reinventing your personal brand when you were introduced at a party as the queen of sweepstakes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was the sweepstakes queen of cable. And that would be great for a lot of people. I know companies where that is their mission, you know, to be sort of the person running it, to be the sweepstakes queen, or to be the king of all sweepstakes for cable networks. And there's a lot of business there, and you can make a lot of money, but that's not who I was. I was a brand strategist. But because I had started out, you know, doing sweepstakes when I first got my own company, because that's where I found the business, I got labeled and pigeonholed as that. And that really diminished my dreams and my talents and all of the aspirations that I had for myself. And it's funny because I'm the brand strategist, but I had been branded something I never dreamed I would be. And I think that's, you know, when they call somebody a tailor with baggy pants, I really was the one who deserved that label.
I haven't heard that expression before.
But I mean, so often we give away what we know, you know, and we don't use it on ourselves.
Very true. It's so true. I always think it's much harder to take an objective look at yourself. You know, I know when I'm working on my stuff, I have to really step back and think, okay, what would I do for her, for somebody else? Because sometimes we get that emotion stuck in the middle there.
It's so true. You know, and that's why consultants are hired, because, or I love business coaches. I can't tell you, I would never start a business without somebody helping to coach me and cheer me on at this point.
Mm. What did you look for when you were looking for a business coach?
Well, you know, I believe in the idea that whatever you're seeking is seeking you. And I just needed somebody to help me with the finances. And I needed somebody to coach me on how to help my business grow. And lo and behold, it came to me in one person. And I just kept putting it out there. You know, every morning I'd wake up and say, this is what I need. And I would start asking around. And I got a two-for-one person, and that was so great. And I talk about her in my book, Mariette Edwards, and I still call her to consult with her from time to time, because when you do end up having your own business, you know, and you do get to the top of the game, it's, you know, the old expression, it's lonely at the top. And who's going to mentor you once you're in the mentoring role?
Mm.
So that's why I pay for my mentor.
Hey, it works. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's really, truly successful who's never had that kind of relationship at some point along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've been in business for how long now, Robin?
This is my 16th year having my own company.
Yeah.
And a Turner is a very big client of ours. And remember that I left that company. It's funny, I was talking to somebody yesterday who started their own business here in Santa Fe. And I said, well, certainly you went after your old company as a client. And he's had his own business for 5 years. And he said, I don't know. I just feel funny about that.
Hmm.
You know, I've never gone after them. I said, that's the low-hanging fruit. They already trust you and know you and know your work. That's where, you know, I would go first. That was my first client, was my old company.
That is so true, because I consult with a couple of large companies up here in Seattle, and I find that many of the consultants they work with are former employees because they already know the system.
Exactly. And you shouldn't feel funny, oh, I left them, they won't want me. It's not true. They're missing you right now.
That's very true. Very true. So we're going to take a break. And okay. When we come back, I want to start looking at some of the 8 steps that you give in your book, because they're very powerful tools for people to use. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest today is Robin Fisher-Rofer. And her book is called Make a Name for Yourself, 8 Steps Every Woman Needs to Create a Personal Brand Strategy for Success. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
How can you make everyone love your business as much as you do? Tune in to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and learn how to make it glow by building a reputation for human goodness with veteran expert Tom Dukakis. Vicky will also talk with local business owner Karen Rule to learn how she left the corporate world and successfully created her own holistic business. That's coming next Monday at noon on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Attention KKNW listeners, we have a brand new show for you every Thursday at 2 p.m. The Living Life Show, presented by Travel Host Magazine. I'm Buzz.
And I'm Robin. The Living Life Show is your weekly guide to living life better. We bring you local and celebrity guests each week who bring interesting ideas and tips on getting more out of life.
And listeners, you can win big prizes like antiques, jewelry, clothing, dining, and a special grand prize in January. So be sure to listen in every Thursday at 2 p.m. right here on KKNW, 1150 a.m.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show at its new time, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Keep it company. I'd like to see the world for once, all standing hand in hand, and hear them echo through the hills for peace throughout the land. That's the song I hear.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and talk about branding. I know our guest, Robin, you couldn't hear that, but Eric just played comeback music. He played the Real Thing jingle from the Coke advert from, I don't know how many years ago that was.
Well, that was in the 60s, I think.
Yeah, but everybody still knows it, don't they?
Teach the world to sing.
That was a brilliant piece of branding there. All right, so let's just recap to anyone who's thinking, you know, well, I'm not thinking, maybe there are people out there think, you know, I'm not thinking of starting my own business, or I may do, but in, you know, several years, you know, or that we maybe have listeners who are going into Walmart to work this morning or on a factory line somewhere and thinking, why do I need a personal brand? Well, how do you answer that, Robin?
Well, everybody needs a personal brand to differentiate themselves from the pack. You know, today everything is so competitive, and with all the layoffs, and we are all learning that the corporation does have no soul, we have to be the CEOs of our own life, and we have to take charge of how we're perceived, because if you don't brand yourself, someone else will, and the trouble is they probably already have, and they've probably gotten it wrong.
Mm.
And that's, you know, where the real danger is. In business, because you know, our bosses or our colleagues or our potential clients see us one way, and they're not really getting to see our passions and our talents and our abilities. And it's, you know, and we could sit here and we can wallow in misery over it, or we could take charge of our lives and start a new dialogue and a new narrative about who we are and tell our greatest story.
And the way that we'd start developing our own brand, let's take a look at someone that absolutely everybody in the world, I'm sure, knows, and that's Oprah. And you start by looking at their background, the childhood, and then you get into developing a brand description. How would you start working with something like that?
Well, I mean, you have to peel away the layers and see where your real talents lie. What are you really good at that no one else is? Are you the calm in the middle of the storm? Are you the peacemaker in the company? Are you the rainmaker in the company? You know, find what that label is. You know, when you talked about Coke, I mean, the first thing you think of is refreshing. It's horrible for you. It's not good for your body. But we've been told so many times by the marketers down in Atlanta that it's refreshing, that we actually believe it. And then there's, you know, if you think about Disney, you think trust.
Mm.
You know, parents trust Disney to deliver their children entertainment that's appropriate. If you think of Apple, you think of think different. You know, it's a completely different kind of company, and everything looks different that comes out of it. So what is it about you? What is your quality that's so distinctive and so different? Are you the one who's the great listener? You know, are you the superb manager? And then just in every review and every opportunity you have with the people that are the influencers in your life, in your business, you're telling that story. And so that it is consistent in their mind, because the holy trinity of branding is consistency, clarity, and authenticity. So it means telling the same story over and over, being clear about who and what you are and what you offer, and then making sure that's authentic to your heart, to your soul, that it really resonates with who you are. You're not just making it up and putting on a mask.
Right, just because it sounds good.
Exactly. People can see right through that.
So we look at ourselves as a product, what we are and why. We
right.
look at our core values, identify our core values. That's always very important.
It is, and mine are safety, love, and integrity. So I want to surround myself with people that also have those values, that support those values. Now, sometimes we're just working in the wrong company. We're living in the wrong city, you know, and it's time to make a change so that we're working within our value system and we're living within it, because otherwise nothing feels right.
Very true, very true. And identifying our passion.
Yeah, and I go back to childhood, you know, we talked about earlier, my passion for television, but you might have loved singing when you were a child. You were a great painter. Maybe you enjoyed cooking with your mother in the kitchen. How can, you know, or you love animals. How can you bring some of those childhood passions, things that were probably squashed or you were told not to consider, into your everyday life? Like, one of the things I love to do is cook. So when I put together an ad campaign, it's almost like, you know, cooking a recipe. What are all the ingredients that are going into it? How is it going to be presented in a beautiful way? So that you're actually working in a process that resonates with what you're really passionate about in your life. Even if you were, like, let's say you love being a lawyer, but you've gotten stale, the industry you're in, and maybe you're even considering not being a lawyer anymore. You know, if you loved animals all your life and that's where your passion is, why not be a lawyer at the local zoo, or be a lawyer for the Humane Society, or, you know, kind of align the things that you love with the skills that you have.
Makes sense. Makes a big difference in your life as well. Big difference.
Well, you only have one life to live that we know of, that we're sure about. You might as well, you know, live it to the fullest.
Mm. And you say identify our five key talents or attributes.
Yes. And I think, and sometimes if you're not sure what those are, then in marketing what we do is we find little focus groups. You know, get together with your girlfriends or the guys that you trust the most. People, like, it's great to have, again, a business coach, but if you can't afford that, you know, just your friends getting together and say, I really need you guys to help me think about what I'm really good at. you know, and they, I bet you they'll have 10 things off the top of their head that they'll say, and you have to see which ones resonate with you and which ones are going to help you get to the next place in your career, which ones can be your brand.
Yeah, and they may even bring up things you never even considered that you were good at as well. That surprised me once when I did something like that, too.
It's so true. We're so modest about ourselves, especially women. And this is why I geared the book to women, although men love the book. But I geared it to women because women aren't very good at telling their story. They'll say, oh, my team did a great job. Or, you know, I pulled that project together, but I have to give Sarah credit. That's all great. That's wonderful when you're, you know, inside the company. But when you're going for a project or you're pitching a new job position or interviewing with a company or you're trying to start a business, it's time to really take credit for what you've done and be proud of it. Otherwise, how will anyone ever know what you did? Men have no problem with this whatsoever.
I think I'm going to refrain from comment on that
one. I mean, it's good to say I had a wonderful team supporting me, but I led that team.
Yeah.
If that's the truth.
Yeah, I used to work with one guy who, it doesn't matter who did what for him, he was carried by a lot of very different people and he never gave credit. So he gave men a bad reputation, but I've also worked with some really good ones too.
Well, that's exactly, that's what you have to balance it. You have to say, I had a dynamic team, but I led the team on this project. Or you could say, I worked with a great team. Here's the slice that I did, you know.
Right,
but,
right.
But to make it like you just were part of this,
do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally get what you're saying, yeah. So once we've identified our key talents, we've gone through this list so far, and then we really need to think about, as you were saying earlier, what we want to really key in on and develop as our specialty. And then from there, we can write our brand description. But so what, in a nutshell, should our brand description have in it?
Well, one of the things, it should have adjectives that describe you. That's number one. So I make this list. It's called an is not list. So Robin is, you know, dynamic. Robin is not arrogant, you know, and you make this whole list all the way down. And then the words that describe you should go into this brand description, or some people call it a 30-second elevator pitch. It's really what you're going to tell somebody about you when you first meet them. Mm. And they say, and what do you do? I mean, I watch people all the time fall all over themselves not being able to describe what they do for a living.
It's true.
So sad. Yeah. Yeah. Or the other thing they'll do is they'll hang everything on the name of the company in their title. Well, I'm the vice president of marketing for Warner Brothers. Well, that's great, but what does that mean to anybody? And how can you start a conversation around that? So instead, if you said, you know, I have an expertise in finding new artists and recording their music and turning them into stars, you know,
it's a little bit
more exciting.
Right.
You know, and then maybe later on they'd say, who do you do that for? And you could say Warner Brothers Records, you know, but with everyone switching companies every 18 months on the average, to hang your ego and your entire brand on some company you may not even be with in 18 months. And some title you may not even have, it seems a little foolish at this point.
Yeah, and I think the way that you've described developing a tagline invites questions from whoever you're repeating this to, rather than just going, oh, that's interesting, and walking away.
Exactly.
So tell us what your tagline is now.
Well, my tagline is the brand strategist for the digital age. And, you know, it seems very grandiose, I think. But at the time, I really needed to make a statement because, remember, I was the sweepstakes queen of cable.
Right, right.
So I knew that I had an expertise in digital marketing, and we just had entered the digital age with the internet and with television going digital and all the handheld devices that we have now. And my expertise was there. And then I wanted to say what I was, which was a brand strategist, which is so much more effective than saying I'm the CEO of Big Fish Marketing. I mean, CEO sounds so over the top, and Big Fish Marketing, well, what the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
So if I said, well, I'm the premier brand strategist of the digital age, I knew I could back it up, and I knew it was authentic, and it would get people's attention.
Mm. And you know,
I've evolved that to since I came up with that line. We still use it, but we've evolved it to building brands without borders. And you can evolve your tagline for sure, and you should over time, as long as it stays true to the core mission of why you got into business in the first place.
Yeah, we would hope that we, you know, the brand line would evolve with us. So if we're still using a tagline we had 20 years ago and yet we've moved on into different realms, we need to definitely update that, don't we?
We do. And we have to update everything, the way that we look, the way that our logo looks, the way that we present ourselves. You know, sharpening the saw is so important, and continuing to evolve. And that's how, you know, I was talking the other day with friends about Sting and Madonna and Oprah and Bono and all these people that have been around for years and years and years, and they continue to evolve, and that's what keeps them fresh and relevant in people's minds. So as they age, they seem to stay forever young. And I think that's very important in a time where ageism is such a problem in corporations inside and outside of almost every industry.
Mm, definitely, definitely. You said, I read that you said, I believe in both miracles and destiny, but in the end, we make our own realities. And in step two of your program is define your dreams and put them into action. What's the biggest mistake you see that most people make when they're trying to define their dreams?
Well, a lot of people that I know and that I've met over the years have the curse. I call it the curse of multi-talent, because it's such an amazing thing to be a Renaissance-type person, to be able to write, to be able to create companies, to be able to make art, but to make your mission to do all of these wonderful things at one time in one life is very, very, it's really doing a disservice to any kind of brand building that you're trying to do, because you're shooting, you know, all over the place, and you're missing the target. So I think people have to choose and realize that for this 10 years, this is what I'm going to focus on. And then, you know, I could do the rest as a hobby, or I can do it at another time in my life. But a lot of times they create so many different businesses for themselves. None of them seem to work.
Do you know, I think that's such a valuable point there, Robin, because, and I know that from personal experience, because when I left my second career, which was, I was a senior officer in banking. I'd had a whole other career before that. So I could do a lot of different things. And when I started my third career, I found myself spread so thin amongst all these different projects. And I still work on a lot of different projects, but they're more focused now around writing and producing. And I suddenly got to a point where I was like, geez, I left the bank, I was an expert, and now I'm like jack of all trades.
Right.
And I felt something was missing there. I felt I really had to narrow my focus and hone in on my real true strengths there.
It's true. You have to narrow your focus. That's a great way to put it. And actually, I had a friend who had so much trouble narrowing her focus that I had her rename her company Focus.
Brilliant. A daily reminder, right?
It is. Again, that self-fulfilling prophecy, your company's name can remind you of what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. So we define our dreams and create ourselves a mission statement. What's the easiest way for people to really write a meaningful mission statement? You mentioned sharpening the saw earlier, which is Dr. Stephen Covey's rest and recreation and recreation, as he calls it.
Yeah.
So I know that you're a fan, or you read some of his work, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he's terrific.
Yeah. And so he talks in there about how you define a mission statement in his Seven Habits book. And sometimes to me, that seemed a little cumbersome. I'd ended up with like a full page mission statement. How do you get that down to be really succinct?
Well, the way that I do it is, I have everyone, I know this is going to sound, you know, I'm out here in Santa Fe and I used to live in LA, so it's going to sound a little airy-fairy, but honest to goodness, it works. If you get in a very quiet space and you close your eyes and you ask yourself, why am I here? It will come. It really will. It may take you many times and many walks through the woods before you get it, but if you that it will come to you in that moment. Now, why am I here as a person can be the same mission as why am I here in business or in starting this business. Or there could be two different mission statements you write. Why I'm here as a person and what is my company here to do? Or what am I to do for my company? So it's really, you've got to ask the right question, and that's going to come to you. Write down the first thing that comes to your mind. It could be so silly. I was in a workshop where a woman raised her hand, and she said, ooh, I did it. I came up with my mission statement, but it sounds so silly. And I said, what is it? And she said, to give pony rides. Now, she was an interior decorator, so give pony rides. So we really broke it down. And at the end of the day, you know, after we hashed it through a little bit, it was really to bring joy to every room.
Wonderful.
So pony rides, what does it do, right? It brings joy. So you
Absolutely.
May come up with a silly, you know, something silly may pop up, but if you really think about it and dissect it, it could be the answer to everything that you want to make happen in your life.
Yeah, I need to go visit mine again. Mine's way too long. I can't even remember it, and that's no good.
But can you imagine an interior decorator walking into your home and saying, I'm so excited to be with you today. My mission is to bring joy to every room in this house.
Yeah, it would instantly make you smile. I mean, you'd have a good feeling about that.
Right, and it makes you stand out. And again, it's about having you were talking about expertise and focus, and that really is what you have to have now in business to really succeed is an expertise and a focus. Because being a generalist is just so old news, and it's not really where the big money is. I mean, think about the difference between what a general practitioner makes and a brain surgeon.
Well, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about going after your target audience with a vengeance, which is step three. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest today is Robin Fisher-Roffer. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Hi, this is Howard Bono, the host of The Money Thing, heard right here on Tuesdays at noon. You don't need to know everything about money, but there are some things you really should know. Each week, my co-host Gary Mance and I will bring you the information that you need. We cut through all the verbiage and marketing hype to provide you with an hour of condensed, easy-to-understand information. We want to improve the quality of your life by taking the financial stress away. So join us for The Money Thing, Tuesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Everyone loves an attractive, healthy, brilliant smile. From Julia Roberts to Tom Cruise to Halle Berry. Nowadays, a gorgeous, healthy smile isn't just for the rich and famous, you know. Tune in to Dr. Q's Smile Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 2, and find out how you, too, can achieve, maintain, and tap into the power of a brilliant, healthy smile. Dr. Q's Smile Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 2.
I'm Paul Casey, host of Small Business Innovators. We talk to the experts, small business owners. We ask the key questions. What is it really like to run a small business day in and day out? We don't talk about theory. We talk to people who have experienced success. If you are thinking that small business is in your future, or if you started your own business, Small Business Innovators is for you. Heard Mondays and Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock a.m. right here on KKNW AM 1150.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Well, Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest today is Robin Fisher Roffer. And her book is called Make a Name for Yourself, 8 Steps Every Woman Needs to Create a Personal Brand Strategy for Success. And I read this book several years ago. And when I was looking for somebody to talk about personal branding for today's show, I did go out to the bookstores and I looked what was new and fresh out there, and I went back to Robin's book because it's still out there on the bookshelves, but it still, to me, is the best thing I've read on personal branding.
Thank you.
Robin, let's go ahead and give out your website information.
Yeah, I have my own MySpace page. I've joined the masses, so it's myspace.com/Robin Fisher Roffer. And if anybody's interested in my company, they can go to bigfishmarketing.com.
Yeah, that's quite a unique website you have there, too. It's quite interesting.
Thank you.
It's a virtual aquarium. Yes, it's a virtual aquarium. I was playing with it yesterday. And we spell Robin's name is R-O-B-I-N-F-I-S-H-E-R, and Roffer is R-O-F-F-E-R, Robin Fisher Roffer. All right, so let's take a look at step 3. You say, no matter what your brand's mission or your financial goal or your personal dreams, identifying and earning the devotion of your target audience is the interlocking and necessary means to reaching those objectives. So let's talk a little bit about going after target audience. And what do you mean by target audience?
Target audience is anyone that you want to influence in a positive way that is going to move your brand forward, your career forward. Anyone, it could be your bosses, your clients, your colleagues, your vendors. Don't forget your vendors. I can't tell you how many people don't treat their vendors well. They think, I don't know, that they're their hired slaves or something. These are the people outside of your company, or if you have your own company, the people that are going to make or break you, that can spread the good word about you to everyone. Inside and out of your industry. And so often they're the most ill-treated, I can tell you, as a vendor. And the other thing is, the person who answers your phone, even, I can't tell you how important it is to make them be on your side, to be one of your personal cheerleaders, because they're the ones on the front line speaking to everyone about you. And so often we just manage up and we just worry about who our higher ups are and what they think, and we forget about everyone around us.
Step 4 is don't crash and burn. Figure out what's stopping you. And obviously fear is the number one thing that stops people in their tracks. Share with us a couple of your fears when you were starting out.
Well, my biggest fear is not being liked. And I've worked very hard on that my whole career. Peeling away that mask, because I have to tell you, you gain no brand equity in wanting every single person to like you and never being able to say no. And I know there's probably a lot of listeners out there that really relate to this. And another big fear was the fear of charging what I was worth. You know, and that is just doing a complete disservice to yourself. Mm. And when my husband came aboard in my company, about 8 years ago, he started changing the structure of how we charged for our services. I remember the first time that he sent a client an email with our new numbers, and I was literally in tears. I was so afraid of the reaction that I would get and that I would lose their business. And you know what? They signed the contract and they faxed it back.
Yeah, very valuable lesson there, right?
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I'm just slurping my water here.
So fear, you know, but everybody, you know, my favorite fear that I don't understand is the fear of success. But a lot of people are self-saboteurs, and they will do whatever they can to ensure that they're not successful because on some level they don't believe they're worth anything.
Mm. And I think sometimes as well, if people feel overburdened already, you know, they feel overwhelmed with responsibility.
They almost
fear getting bigger and better because they think more responsibility is going to come with that.
Well, yeah, and their comfort, what you're talking about is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I say in my book, and it's really true, comfort is the blinking yellow light that we all drive through. We all drive through that light, and that's how you end up without a job and with a pink slip. You can never be comfortable, not anymore.
True, very true. Step five, you touched a little on this when you were talking about vendors and the importance of reaching out. Recruit a squad of brand cheerleaders. So how do we surround ourselves with brand cheerleaders?
Well, I think it boils down to really rewarding the people around you that are helping you be successful and not taking them for granted. That's the number one thing to do. When my book came out, I went to the Beverly Hills Hotel. I, you know, had a beautiful room set aside for my 50 favorite clients, friends, brand cheerleaders, and I gave them each a copy of my book, and we had a high tea with champagne, and I stood up and I thanked them all for helping me get where I was. I never take for granted the people that have helped me get to the places that I've gone, and I'm always there to help them and to lend an ear when needed, and we mentor each other. And it's very important to have a circle around you that wants to see you succeed and doesn't want to break you down. And I think when you start doing this inventory of who's really on your side and who you want on your side and who you'd like to mentor you or who you'd like to mentor, because it works all those ways, It's time to let go of the people, you know, kind of nicely say goodbye to the people that have been naysaying you for all these years. Mm. And when you do that, you don't want to throw dirt because you'll always lose ground, but it's, you know, some people, you know, life's a highway, and sometimes some people are going to have to get off of that exit ramp of your life.
Yeah, you actually talk in the book about somebody who threw dirt at you, actually, because when you became pregnant, he went around telling all your clients it was highly unlikely you'd be back after the pregnancy.
Yeah, and I have to tell you that that was very painful, and I ended up getting on a plane and going to our national cable television conference, I think in full bloom, 5 or 6 months pregnant, to show that I was in the game. Because, you know, that was and I don't know how people get this in their head that when women get pregnant, the game is over for them. And I think there's just too many role models out there to prove that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it continues to happen. And I think it's happened to a lot of women that I know. But you have to show them you're still in the game. You're going to be a wonderful mother. You're going to be devoted. And it's going to bring a lot to how you manage, and it's going to improve your business skills to be, you know, a parent. You've got to vocalize all that.
Yeah, definitely. Step six is learn the secrets to packaging your brand. And you talk about the importance of clothing and hair, and I wonder if you'd share a few thoughts on that.
Well, again, it goes back to consistency. So if you're saying that you're a web designer, but you look like a school teacher, or you're saying that, you know, you're a business owner, but you come to the meeting with an untucked shirt and an unshaven face and a pair of Birkenstocks. I mean, unless your business is, you know, an adventure company, I don't think you're going to attract the money you want to attract to make that business really work. So you have to dress the part you play, so you're going to play it so much better.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and we like to say it's not important, but it, people do judge on first appearances, and you never get the chance to make that first impression back, do you?
No, and 80% of all communication is visual. Since the 60s, they've been doing test studies on this. 80% is visual. That means only 20% of what you say is going to matter unless people are connecting up your look with what you're saying.
Mm.
So you're you know, I talk to Columbia Business School. I've been to the Wharton Business School, and I do these lectures, and these young women are always asking me, but why can't people just like me for my brains and my personality? Why does it matter what I wear? I said, they're not going to get past it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they don't see you fully. So I want people to creatively express who they are through the way that they look. They're exterior should reflect their interior, and then they're going to even be more successful.
Yeah, and step seven actually kind of blends in with that, because it's get comfortable in your own skin and cultivating a personal style. And I love this. You say you're flawed, so you're flawed. Who cares? Who isn't? I love that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so true. We're so worried about being perfect all the time. And what we need to be is ourselves. Completely authentic, and showing the world who we are on, you know, our terms, And I just think it's about getting comfortable in your skin is about walking the walk and talking the talk, being your word. No, and every time you stand up and honor yourself, you are creating more love for yourself. And the more confidence you have, the like a light, people will just be attracted to you.
Mm. You say what everyone knows, not what every, excuse me, you say what not everyone knows is that we're all born with it, but whether we use it or not is a whole other question. And I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, our charisma. I think we're all born with charisma, but not everyone. You know, I have some people in my life that are afraid to shine, that just really want to almost disappear. And I don't know. I just think that it's like, again, you have this one life, you know, that old expression. I know it sounds cliche, but life's not a dress rehearsal. It's time to shine. I mean, this book is like a permission slip to everyone to turn the light on to who they really are, to be who they were meant to be, you know, because we're all here for a purpose. So I think it's important we play it out and give ourselves permission to do that.
Yeah, and I love that in each chapter, I mean, we're skipping through this, but obviously you've gone into it in a lot more detail in each chapter. But at the end of each chapter, you have an exercise to actually that we can go through and actually develop our brand in each single step. And step 8 is devise a plan and get on with it. And you say, well, tell us what you say about putting it out into the universe.
Well, you know, I think that it's important to write everything down that you want to happen in your life because there's tremendous power in the pen, and it's making a commitment to yourself that it's going to all happen in a divine way. And again, it's using the power that's within you to make all these things happen and writing down a plan. I mean, you can't get anywhere without a plan. So I give you the step-by-steps in this book for how to create that plan. And I think it's just making sure that it's based in reality and that you're also measuring risk versus responsibility. You have a responsibility to your family and to yourself financially. What kind of risk can you take? I had $10,000 that I got from Turner Broadcasting when I cashed in my stock. I calculated out exactly how to spend that. I knew how much time I had before my first client's check came in. And I really balanced it all out. And you have to do that. You can't just go running without a plan.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, very quickly, because we're running towards the end of the program here, but I saw you had written an article about retooling your career after a layoff. And we're having big layoffs here. I think 600 Starbucks layoffs, Seattle Times was 86 layoffs, Washington Mutual, there's 500 in Washington State, and these are all coming very soon and very fast. But so how could somebody, when they're in that situation, what's the first step they need to do to rebrand themselves? Obviously get your book, right?
Yeah, the book is a great beginning. And do all the exercises in the book. I almost want you to do the exercises more than read the book if you have short on time. But I think it's really important to clarify, again, what you do better than anyone else. You know, one of my good friends got laid off from a television network. She was the head of marketing. And we boiled it down. What was she really good at? She was good at creating the dream. Coming up with a dream, creating it, and then building it. So her tagline became dream, create, build. So she could consult with anyone, you know, that wanted to be coached on how to make their dreams come true. And I think that's where you start. What am I really great at? And come up when people ask you what you do. Don't say I just got laid off from Washington Mutual, but say I'm an expert in finance in the Far East.
Fabulous.
You know,
fabulous.
Talk about what you're an expert in.
Excellent. Well, Robin, we're at the end of the show, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and give out your website information again for people who'd like to learn more about you and the work that you're doing.
It's myspace.com/RobinFisherRoffer or bigfishmarketing.com.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And my guest, of course, Robin Fisher-Roffer, her book, Make a Name for Yourself, 8 Steps Every Woman Needs to Create a Personal Brand Strategy for Success. And if you have any feedback on today's show, you know where to reach me at conversationslive.net or at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. I thank each of you for being with us today. And don't forget, you can check out podcasts of featured shows on our website. We'll be putting this one up by tomorrow, end of day tomorrow. So if you want to listen again, check in at conversationslive.net. Thanks for being with us. Live well, live strong. And please join me next Monday at noon for more Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Everyone love your business as much as you do. Tune in to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and learn how to make it glow by building a reputation for human goodness with veteran expert Tom Dukakis. Vicky will also talk with local business owner Karen Rule to learn how she left the corporate world and successfully created her own holistic business. That's coming next Monday at noon on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.